spiritual things, and you read about them from here, the whole armor of God. But you know, when we look in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, especially if you look at Isaiah chapter 11 verse 5. Can you find that? Page number, come on. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 5. Chapter 11 and verse 5. Speaking about the Lord Jesus, Isaiah. A prophecy about the Lord Jesus. You read it from verse 1 down to verse 5 and you'll read of the prophecy. But this is what it says. Verse 5. The righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. So there's a girdle. There's righteousness. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 52. That's on page number... Isaiah chapter 52, page 758 in my Bible. Alright, Isaiah chapter 52 verse 7. That's what I have to say in Romania. Page numbers, because a lot of the people have only just got new Bibles. They don't know. Look at verse 7. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, and saith unto Zion, the Lord reigneth. So here is someone with feet that are shod with the preparation of the gospel, a people who've got feet for that. Isaiah 59 verse 17. That person, of course, is the Lord Jesus who brought the message of salvation. In verse 17, Isaiah chapter 59 verse 17. And he put on a righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Do you see what I'm trying to show you? That the Old Testament tells us that these weapons that you and I are to put on are in fact the weapons of Christ himself. Christ has the weapons. And it's as you and I are in Christ, as you and I are part of Christ, as we belong to Christ, we receive all the blessings, we receive the weapons. And we've often thought about them. It's very often a young person's kind of message. The weapons that we need. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The shoes of the gospel. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. All of these various weapons are the things that we need as we put them on and then begin to live the Christian life, defeating Satan and living in a way that pleases God. We can do it, but we can only do it as we are in relationship with Christ. We can do it, but we can only do it as we are in fellowship with one another. Because the interesting thing to me, that these weapons here, they're the weapons of the individual soldier, but I never yet heard of an individual soldier who ever won a war anywhere. Oh, who was that guy, Horatio, that defended the bridge along to... Well, maybe he did a bit. But no, no individual soldier ever did that. When I was in the army, they never taught me to go out by myself and win the war. What they taught me to do was to fight side by side with my fellow soldiers. They taught me to be part of a disciplined group of soldiers who would obey their master, who would obey their officers, who would obey the captain, and then we would win the war. That's what they told us. Do what you're told to do. Be where you have to be. Fight as you have to fight. Use the weapons as you need to use them, and you will win the war. That's what they told us. That's how it is. That's how it is in the Christian life. Every one of us. Taking the weapons and knowing how to use our weapons. Every one of these things is a quality of the Lord Jesus. Every one of these things is really what you and I need to daily walk. And as we take on this armor of our salvation, then we can be for God the great force that will win the world for Him. You know, I'm longing to see it happen. You people excite me so much. I just look at you and I think, wow, the potential in this place. You know, the disciples were men in their 30s or 20s when Jesus said to them, go and win the world. Just 20-year-olds being sent out to win the world. Not great missionaries, not people who've been serving God for 40 years. They were just ordinary people who, equipped with the armor, were sent out to win the world. You people here, what a wonderful possibility. God's power released through you. You can go out as you take the armor of God. But you know, when I was there training as a soldier, we used to go out to the firing range. That was a bit of fun. I wasn't a very good shot, but it was still fun. They ended up giving me a Bren gun. That's like a sort of semi-automatic thing. A bit heavy to carry, but I had the Bren gun. And we used to travel together, and there they then took us out to a kind of a mini battlefield, and they gave us all live rounds, and every soldier had live rounds, and we had the old 303 rifles at the time, and we were moving, and we were actually firing as we went. Now, I had a bit of a problem, because the guy got behind me. Now, I was a bit worried, because I knew he had live rounds in his weapon, and he was behind me, when really, he should have been beside me. And once he got behind me, who was in danger? I was. I was scared, because the man who should have been beside me was behind me. He wasn't keeping up with the rest of us. And once you leave a gap in the line, then that's when the enemy is able to do what he wants to do. But I remember we were at the firing range, and we had one guy there. When he tried to march, he didn't know how to march. He couldn't get his legs going right and his arms going right. So they put me in front of him, and I had to have two broomsticks in my hand. And as we marched, my arms were going, I had to push his arms out on the broomstick. And we looked quite a sight as we marched along. I had to show him how to be a soldier for a while. As we marched, the broomstick was going. But then we went out to the firing range with this same fellow, and again, he was just beside me there. And we started to shoot up the firing range, bang, bang, bang. And his rifle jammed. And there beside me, he just turned around, he said, Sergeant, my rifle's not working. And he was pressing the trigger and pointing the gun right at me. And I thought, you know, that's an awful thing. Because I'm going to tell you that I have seen and heard many Christian believers firing at the Christian believers. I've seen and heard many Christian believers, instead of fighting the enemy, fight each other. And isn't that one of the most shameful, the most sad, the most distressing things that you could ever see? That instead of standing side by side, we begin to turn against each other. And you know, and I know, that a kingdom divided against itself can never stand. And when you've got a civil war going on within a country, you've got people of that own country fighting against each other. And when you've got Christian believers fighting against each other, then guess who laughs? Guess who's having a field day? Guess who's working out his plan? Absolutely right. It's Satan having a great field day. But when you and I know our weapons, when we take the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, when we take the sword of the Spirit. You know what the sword of the Spirit is? It's not the Bible like this. Don't think of the sword of the Spirit as the Bible like this. That, I know a lot of people think like that, but it's not quite true, actually. It's a different word. It's not the Logos of God, it's the Rhema of God. And the Rhema of God means the declarations of God, the statements of God. And that's what we need. We need not just a piece of paper or this here, but we need the declaration. What has God said? That's the sword of the Spirit. What God has said about a matter. Because you see, Satan's going to come along and say, has God said? Well, Eve sort of said, yes, God said. But when Satan came to Eve and he said, has God said this? She said, well, I'm not sure. Well, God did say something. Well, that's what you and I need to be able to say. Because Satan most definitely is going to come, and the critics and Satan's emissaries are going to come to you and say, has God said this? Well, what's your answer? You need to know it. You need to know the Bible, what God says. And that's why it's critical for you young people to study the Word of God. Oh, I hope you do. I really hope. Not just read it. Reading's fine, but study is what you have to do. Many of you are students. Many of you are at university. You've disciplined your mind to grasp the subject that's your particular choice. Some of you are studying very complicated subjects. You're a blessed people. You really are, because you've been taught how to study. But in my generation, we didn't go to university. Most of us left school when we were 15 and 16 because our parents were so poor they couldn't afford to send us to university. My parents were very poor. They couldn't afford to send me anywhere. I went to school when I was 16. I've done studies since, but I've had to do it. But you're blessed because you're being trained in discipline, in study. Now, divert some of your time and that discipline to the study of the Word of God. You know, one of the men I admire most is a man called Mr. Ned Mahag. Some of you know him, but you don't know probably that he left school when he was 12. You don't know that he was a boy who used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and milk cows every morning by hand, because that's where he was. He grew up on a dairy farm. But Mr. Ned Mahag is a man I admire because God has used him in a wonderful way as a missionary in Bolivia for more than 40 years. He won't tell you, but you go into his house, you'll find there a medal that he got from the president of Bolivia because of the work he did in Bolivia. A 12-year-old farm boy who left school because he couldn't afford to go to school anymore. He had to stay and work on the farm. And getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the cows, he used to get up at 3 o'clock so he could study the Bible too. And he taught himself. He read himself. He prepared himself to do God's work. And that's what you people need to do. Now, I know we live in an instant society, and you can get CD-ROMs for your computer with all the gizmos, whizmos of the Bible on it. But I'm going to tell you that the only way you'll ever know the Word of God is to put time and discipline and study into the Word of God. That's the truth. That's the sword of the Spirit. What does God say? You know, when the Lord Jesus answered Satan's temptation, if you are the Son of God, do this, do that. How did Jesus answer him? The Word of God. God has said this. The declarations of God. That's how he answered him. That's how you and I will get victory. That's how you and I will be able to live a victorious life. But the final thing I want you to see, and this is the end of our study here, Paul says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. And I keep in my mind this whole idea of being in contact with headquarters. It's a military thing. When I was there in the army, our lieutenant had a radio, and he was constantly asking the captain, what do I do now? What do I do now? Captain, I can see the enemy on that hill. What do you want me to do? So here he was with my radio, constantly asking the captain, tell me what to do. Where do we go? What's the orders? What shall I do? This is the situation. And he constantly got the orders back from the captain. Hey, that's what we're doing when we pray. And that's what Paul is saying here. You get your armor on, you go out to do your big battle, you go out to do your fight, but you keep in touch with the headquarters. Guess who's the captain? Well, silly question. You know who the captain is. The Lord Jesus is the captain. The Lord Jesus is the Lord of hosts. The Lord Jesus is the one who tells us when and how and why and what, because he's the captain of our salvation. But also you'll notice there's one more thing, and that is that we are to be alert, constantly on our guard, because there's something that happens in military terms, and that is that you always wait until your enemy is likely to be the drowsiest. When do they attack? What's the normal time for attack? Come on, some of you old soldiers. What, sorry? Just before dawn. Why? Well, it's a changeover. Yeah, you're as sleepy as can be. Even the guys that have been up all night are sleepy. The new guys that are just about to come on haven't quite got their eyes open yet. And so just before dawn. Look, you know when to do it if you're a soldier. And you guess that Satan doesn't know when to attack you? When will he attack you? When you're at your worst. When you're under the most pressure. When you've got the most difficulty. Satan, he's no fool. He knows exactly about you, and he knows what strategy to use. And so the last instruction that Paul gives to the Christian believers here are these two things. Whatever you do, having put on that whole armor of Christ, that armor of God, put on that armor, keep it on. By the way, what part of the armor is missing? What part is not covered? The back. Did you notice that? You've got a breastplate, you've got a helmet, you've got a gird here, and you've got your shoes, and you've got all the things, but you haven't got anything for your back. And so what Dr. Paul told us last night is pretty relevant when it comes to the Christian pathway, because if you dare turn your back, you're in trouble. If you dare turn your back, you're totally exposed. So that's why you've got to go forward. Absolutely go forward in this Christian fight. But you've got to go forward in fellowship with your brothers. You know, the Roman army was an incredible army. This weapons that they had, and Paul refers to their kind of weapons, their shields were wonderful things. They were designed specifically to be fought with an army. Not personal shields, no, no, no. They weren't sort of personal things like I might have if I was fighting against you and I've got something that's pretty agile and I can whip it around. It wasn't like that at all. It wasn't intended for this personal fight at all. It was intended for a total collective fight, an army fight. It was quite big. And it was made so it interlocked one into the other. So when you stand beside me, here's soldier number one. He stands beside me and he's got his shield and I've got my shield and our shields locked together. John, come over the other side of me here, please. And John's shield is there beside me. And here's the army. Put your shield right. He's there. So here we are. I've got him behind this way. Okay. And so we've got a space through there. A little nick in there for your sword to be through. And we would then move one step together forward. Go. 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 And you couldn't get past it. It was like a wall. Okay, well what can we do? We'll send some arrows over the top of these guys and hit them on the head. So you just kneel down. And you just put your sword up, or your shield up like that. And the arrows couldn't get you. They couldn't do a thing. So long as you stood, thanks a lot. So long as you stood side by side. So long as you had your shield, not a single thing could touch you. You were invincible. And you just moved and moved and moved. And every army just fell away in front of you because you couldn't fight against them. But only when you stood together. If one soldier said, oh, I'm not having any of this, and he left a gap in the ranks, then the whole thing fell apart. And that's why it's so very, very important for every one of you to get your armor, to stand in the Lord, to get your sword, and then stand side by side and fight in the gospel. Praying in the Spirit, keeping alert and a guard, because Satan will attack. There's no question. I tell you what, next week's going to be an interesting week for you. Because this week's been up on top of the mountain, it's been pretty good, eh? But next week, you watch. You see how Satan has a go at you. I'm sort of a bit scared how he'll have a go at me, because you know there's one thing about being a preacher. The Bible says those who teach should take special care. I teach you. Satan will have every opportunity to try and knock me off my perch. Don't you worry. And if he can destroy your confidence, the decisions that you've made this week, the determination you have to live by the will of God, I tell you what, he will do it. He will do it. So I don't know how you feel about the book of Ephesians now, but I feel pretty good about it. I really love this book because it teaches me that God's got an incredibly wonderful plan to win the world. And the first thing he says, now I'm going to win this world, so I'll have a believer. And I have a plan for him. He's my masterpiece. And with this believer, I now put him in the church. The church now is the second stage. I will prepare him and give him all the resources that he needs. And then I'll send him out to win the world. You know, when that happens, what glory to God. I can't see why it shouldn't happen today. It could start right here. We can start moving right now. But of course, that depends on us. On our willingness to go out and to be the people that God wants us to be. Are you ready to be that kind of person? What will it cost you? Well, it'll cost you everything. But what will it get you? Unbelievable treasure. Every possible blessing is yours when you walk in the way of God.